Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
We do have a show announcement coming up at 5 today. Very excited about that we'll get to. But we started the show with just a quick blurb on this. I woke up today, and the first thought was, there's no more playoff baseball for me. And I was just talking about this with Ted, because I was asking our production guy, Ted, what are you doing this week? And he's like, a lot of football, maybe some playoff baseball. And I was like, I think I need a detox. Like, I will pick up with the baseball playoffs. I'll watch the highlights and do all that. I'm going to pick up with the series on Monday, because I'm still smarting from yesterday. That one still hurts just a bit.
Yep. It's way too raw. And this morning hurt a little bit extra because, like, I woke up, I'm like, man, there's some NBA preseason going on. But outside of that, I'm not in the mood to watch this playoff baseball right now. There's no football on tonight. And I know you're going to the high school game this evening. But for me, I was like, what am I going to do when I go home today? Because there's going to be no Guardians on. And that's a pretty empty feeling.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Like, so much of what I feel good about this team is that they do have, a fair amount of interesting talent. I think the rotation in their bullpen is going, the cup runneth over the next year to 2 years there. And I actually think it would be pretty smart to make a deal or two for somebody like Cantillo or for Logan Allen, because you're not going to carry six starters next year. And if Luis Ortiz actually comes back, that is even going to further create a bigger issue, because Luis Ortiz would have been your third starter in the playoffs, if not your second starter in this last series. Like, I think he actually might have better stuff than Bibee, and he might have your second best pure stuff of anybody currently in the rotation. I'm not holding out hope that'll happen, but that gives you even more cushion in the rotation. But I think if the Guardians, and this is like a word of encouragement, don't speak to folks about internal development. I know you're in this sticky wicket here where you don't want to let the wrong guy go and he goes somewhere and becomes a good player, and then that's a piece you could have had. Same point, this roster needs one or two bats. And I think if that means you got to get creative this offseason, if that means you have to think in some way you normally wouldn't think, if you turn one player into two players and a prospect, and this might be the right time to do it, because I think Stephen Vogt is right. I think you are right there. I think you are close to where you need to be. You need at least one more guy that can hit 30 home runs consistently. Like, Manzardo, I think, is a 30 home run hitter. I just don't think he's going to be a consistent player. I think he's a peaks and valleys player. So you need somebody in between him and Hosey. And then you probably need one more guy to hit about 20 homers a year. If you get that and the rest of the lineup continues to take a step forward, I think you'll be really, really good next year, and I think you'll have a real chance to go even beyond the ALCS next year.
Dude, I'm with you. I think that's why there were so many people that were mad at you yesterday because of what you said about the Dolans, because I think people realize, like, we are on the doorstep here, and with this starting pitching, you're always going to have a chance, and the way that they're able to constantly churn these guys out, like, Slade Ciccone, his post-game availability was awesome.
I am team Slade Ciccone. That dude is a bro, and that is a bro for life.
And he gets it. He's like, he practically said, when I arrived in Cleveland, I sucked. They changed everything about me, and now I'm actually pretty good, and I'm excited to continue to develop within this organization because I understand they can make me really good. And I'm like, that's a guy that gets it because he sees that they just do this with their starting pitching. You're going to be competitive in the American League Central Division because of how good your starting pitching is. And I think what people are so up in arms about, and they've kind of got the right to be up in arms about, is because you're right there. If you had one or two more big bats in this series, you're probably heading to Seattle to play the Mariners this week. Shoot, the Mariners would potentially be coming here to play you this week because maybe you never got to the 15 and a half game deficit in the first place. Like, it does feel like they're so close. And I hope, and again, we talked about hope earlier when we were talking with the Browns, maybe George Valera could come on and be that guy. Maybe Chase DeLauder could come on and be that guy.
But I think here's the thing.
We haven't seen that.
They're all maybes. With health, with DeLauder and Valera and Juan Brito and Jimenez, and if you have to choose between Rocchio and Arias, like, there's just too many maybes on this roster. And that brings us to the conversation. And I already thought it was a difficult conversation on what do you do with Steven Kwan? Because I can't tell you that I don't feel the pull of loving watching Steven Kwan play baseball. I do. He's a fan favorite for a reason. He has maximized his skill set in every possible way you can, and he plays the right way. And so, he's also an elite leadoff hitter, and those guys tend to be a thing of Dodo's past. But I don't think Steven Kwan, to a team that isn't in New York, L.A., Philadelphia, Chicago, Texas, I don't think he is an elite. I don't think he's worth what you're going to pay him. And I think what conflates that conversation today, I don't know why I said conflates that way, but what conflates that conversation now is he also was really bad in the second half of the season and in the postseason. And so it almost feels like I've been the guy in Game of Thrones that I'm just one guy with a sword trying to fight the entire army. And now it feels like there are a lot of people just on my side because of recency bias. That's like him being bad in the second half is not why you should trade him. You should trade him because you probably can turn him into two equally good players. And because you're going to lose him 2 years in free agency, and even if you re-signed him, it would be a cosmically bad idea because he is a contact first gold glove left fielder, not center fielder, who probably will never hit for more than 15 home runs in a season.
Here's my only concern with that, though, is that we just got done bellyaching about how bad the rest of this lineup is, that if you take away a guy like Steven Kwan, even with his cons, and you've certainly listed them, the fact that he doesn't hit for power, the fact that he has a tendency to go Danny Phantom in the second half of seasons and the postseason for multiple years, that's not just a this year thing. What's it look like through 162 without that bat at the top of the lineup?
Like, well, I mean, I think the thing you have to do is, and I've done like the Cincinnati deal, like TJ Friedl and Sal Stewart and like a third piece. Like, if you can turn Steven Kwan into a decent center fielder, not a great center fielder, but decent center fielder, and somebody that can play a corner spot, I think you have to do it. And I don't think they will, by the way. I think they're going to play this down to the last moment, see if they're in contention, and then make the decision, and that's a prudent decision. I'm talking about, I think if you're aggressive and you make the right deal, you can get better while moving on from Steven Kwan. If the end goal is you're going to move on from Steven Kwan, whether it's now or 2 years from now.
And it has to be the right deal, though. That's the other piece of this, because like too many times, and it has worked out for the team before. I'm not trying to take a shot at Antonetti and Chernoff when I'm saying this, but you trade a major league guy that's really good, like a Steven Kwan, like a Mike Clevinger, and what you get back is a bunch of guys like, whoa, I've never heard of any of these guys. Who's Josh Naylor? Who's Austin Hedges? You know, and you come to learn that, okay, these are Major League Baseball players, but if I'm trading Steven Kwan, especially this offseason, I need more than just the poo-poo platter of prospects.
Yeah, I think that's the problem. I don't think you can have your cake and eat it too when it comes to this. Like, his value is going to be complicated as opposed to maybe what it would have been at the deadline.
It's probably like, worse, right?
At the deadline, he probably was going to go for at least two top 100 picks, if not an additional top 100-ish, and then maybe a fourth piece, right? It could have been a 4-for-1 or a 4-for-2. I think you're hoping now for two good big leaguers who are ready to go now, and then I think you also have to go ahead and find like that third piece that's maybe whatever your version of Caminero was going to be, a guy at rookie ball, low A that's 3 years away. I think that's like the best case scenario.
Yeah, because like I just worry that if you trade Kwan now, like say the World Series happens and it's the first thing that happens and first thing that's discussed in the winter meetings, and I'm sure this is going to be a topic that's going to follow us all the way into spring training. I just wonder, like, if you take that guy away and you're not replacing him with a proven MLB bat, what's that opening day lineup look like?
Yeah,
what's the product that you're going to put on the field?
But the year that Stephen Kwan broke into baseball, no one saw Stephen Kwan taking over. That was also, I believe, the year of SpongeBob, Oscar Gonzalez had his run. Like, if you look at the opening day lineup in March of 2022 and look at what they were on August 1st, it was night and day. Bobby Bradley, Yu Chang, like, I think Bradley Zimmer was out by that point. Like, the roster completely turned over. And I think that's, like, I understand that's scary for fans. I get it. There's nothing fun about trading Stephen Kwan. But I don't want Stephen Kwan to be your next Andrés Giménez.
Mm.
Because if he's a 275 hitter, he's not worth $20 to $25 million a year for you the way he would be for L.A., and I do think, like, I think some of Steven's issues, some of it's been health. I think some of it's also been, I think he feels the weight like Hosey does of not having enough protection around him.
For sure.
So I fully believe that there's a better version of Steven, that he can be more consistently. But this is the catch-22 of, I don't think he can get there here, because I think he's constantly going to be trying to press and constantly tinkering with himself, trying to be something he's not, to be better for this lineup. And you're not, like, if we just say, hey, we're going to be in the playoffs next year if DeLauder just takes a step forward and is healthy and Valera does it and Juan Brito, and guys, we did that this year. You did the, hey, we're going to look internal improvement. That, you can't have that. You need to make deals. You need to go find power to import to this team. And the two most logical places are Stephen Kwan, because he's going to be a free agent in 2 years, and at least one of your starters. And you should probably do both. Because you know the other thing that trading Kwan does? It frees up left field to sign somebody, an older player, Marcell Ozuna, though he's more of a DH at this point, or trade for Adelis Garcia if he's non-tendered, and to put a power bat in a power outfield spot. Like, you cannot continue to have no power on your corners, and then whatever you get out of first base isn't consistent. And then you're not supplementing that power with center field, shortstop, second base. Oh, by the way, the catcher's not much power either. You cannot do that. And so it's not the conversation we want to have. But it would be fiscally irresponsible to re-sign Stephen Kwan, and it might be fiscally irresponsible to have him on the opening day roster. And that's not a Dolan's problem, because I know that's going to be the, oh, you should just sign him. Guys, they can have the money, and they still shouldn't sign him. He is a strong leadoff hitter, elite left fielder, but probably marginal center fielder. He's got great contact skills, but he's not consistent. He gets hurt a lot. He doesn't have enough power. You can sign maybe one guy in this era. Hosey's your guy, but you can sign another guy for the next run when Hosey's money expires. It shouldn't be Stephen Kwan. It should be whomever you get that can be the guy sitting behind Hosey Ramirez in the lineup. Felt good.
I'm glad.
He doesn't seem glad. Now he said glad. It's like, man, he doesn't sound glad.
I'm a little worried of what's going to happen this offseason with our guards.
216-474-0092. Should Stephen Kwan be on the roster when next season begins? Would you bet on Kwan being a Guardian on opening day? I actually would. I don't think they're going to do it, and I think it's going to be something they'll live to regret, just like holding on to Frankie too long, just like holding on to a few guys too long, and the what if we might never really know about the Dolans in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Oh, why start at the Dolans? Oh, hey, bleep the Dolans, right? The bigger picture is this team has ownership that will never allow them to ever win a World Series. Guys, I'm not doing this crap. I'm not telling you to not have criticisms of the Dolan. What I'm saying is there's a time and a place when we can bitch about ownership, and there's a time and a damn place where we can credit a team for what they did. And that team is that front office that half of you wanted to fire damn 6 months ago. If you want to bitch about the Dolans, do it somewhere else. All right. That video, many people have seen it, and it was interesting. This is an occupational hazard. I think a lot of people were thinking, I was saying, you can't complain about the Dolans. I just think there's a time and place for that conversation. And the problem is, there is a segment of fans who the only conversation they can have about the Guardians...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
After something goes wrong... Is bleep the Dolans.
Mm.
And at some point, it is not interesting. At some point, there is no value in continuing to hammer a family who, while they absolutely should spend more money, I don't think that's up for debate. They're doing so in a broken economical system in baseball where, and I thought Lima did a great job of pointing this out, 25 of 30 owners cry poor. And cry. And so 25 out of 30 fan bases feel like their ownership is cheap in baseball. That's part and parcel to the economic structure of baseball, which is unfeasible. And not just unfeasible for Cleveland and Tampa and Milwaukee. It's unfeasible for the 1%. The Yankees can't keep handing out 13-year deals worth $500, $600 million. We're running out of teams to do that outside of the Dodgers, who just kick everything to 10 years down the road. So it's, I just continue to come back to, like, yesterday to me was about the story of that season and what has been accomplished. And if we're starting to talk about why this season fell short of where you might have wanted to in the big picture, while the Dolans are always going to be a part of that, we should just say it. Like, Antonetti and Chernoff did not have a good enough offseason when it came to finding bats to boost this lineup.
Yeah, your offseason acquisitions were Carlos Santana, Paul Sewald, like that ultimately...
Jacob Junis, who actually was probably one of your best free agent signings.
It wasn't enough. And you look at like what went wrong on the field and what ultimately led to the demise of this team. Well, it was the fact that you had the worst batting average that the MLB postseason has ever seen since 1906. Like, that's why this team ultimately was bounced. However, I agree with you that like there are ways to have constructive conversations about the Guardians instead of just throwing your hands up in the air and saying, well, the Dolans are cheap. Well, okay, that may be true.
That is true.
However,
it is true. They don't spend enough money on the, and there's a myriad of reasons why that is. But yeah, it's true. Like, we can say that.
We could also say like, okay, what happened if they would have listened to us and called up CJ Cephas and Chase DeLauder when people started campaigning for them, when we realized that the veterans that they had on this roster were not cutting it? Like, there are other healthy ways to talk about this baseball team other than just to consistently complain that there's not enough money being spent. Like, of course there's not enough money being spent.
I think maybe my frustration is that is a valid point. The Dolans don't spend enough money. Now, I will say they spend money in development. They spend money in the minor leagues. They spend money in terms of having one of the most robust analytics and coaching staffs in baseball. Those things do matter. But in terms of free agents and retaining players, they don't spend enough money. But at the same point, they also foster the rare environment that Dan Gilbert has not consistently done in Cleveland. Although I think he's done a better job since LeBron left again. But that Jimmy Haslam apparently has never done. I've got one owner.
I saw a lot of that yesterday.
Well, and I'll be honest with you. If your rebuttal to the whatever Dolan's issue you have is if Jimmy Haslam was the Browns owner, we'd have won, or the Guardians owner, we would have won three World Series already. No, you wouldn't have. Because you'd be on regime 10 by now.
And hey, guys, Jimmy Haslam had the most expensive roster in the NFL last year, and he won three games.
Yeah, and so they are, listen, they are the polar opposites of each other. There is, I'm going to spend every possible cent that I can to build a winner, but can't get out of your own way because you need to be a part of the equation instead of just letting football people do football things. It is, we have to try and be the smartest people in the room to show everybody how smart we are at football, but I'm going to spend every dollar I can to make it happen. And then there's the other side that it's, we're going to stay out of the way of the baseball guys. We're going to let them make the decisions that best benefit them. We're not going to breathe down their neck if they have a bad season or an off season. We're going to support them to a limit. Like, the reality is Jimmy Haslam wouldn't have any more success with the Guardians because there would be reasons why, one, he wouldn't spend the way he does with the Browns because he wouldn't make what he makes with the Browns. And two, he's not good at being an owner. He's not good at the things that you need to do specifically in baseball. Baseball takes 5 to 7 years to turn the Rockies. The Rockies just had a top five pick last year. They're going to have another one this next year. The Rockies had 43 wins this year. They're such in a bad spot. It's going to take them 3 to 5 to 7 years to get out of where they are because of malfeasance in ownership and because of a bad front office.
It takes like patience.
But if you're going to knock the Dolans, and it's a fair knock about spending, you have to concede that how they allow baseball guys to do baseball things for baseball people, not necessarily for players, but for baseball people, has turned this into a mecca where Terry Francona wants to come, where Chris Antonetti and Mark Chernoff have had multiple opportunities to go elsewhere and have decided to stay in Cleveland. They've become the place where future GMs and future managers make their way through Cleveland before going elsewhere in Minnesota and this, that, and the other. Like, both of those things are true, not just the side that you are most pissed about or most passionate about.
Right, and I do get it, like, from the fan side of things. Like, it would be a lot more fun if you had a big offseason acquisition. If they went and did the Edwin Encarnacion thing this year, you know, where you go get a big free agent bat. Say they go get Pete Alonso. People would be overjoyed with emotion, but
unless he sucks.
That's the
everybody
piece of
wanted
it.
Nick That's Swisher and Michael Bourne, and then they sucked here, and then we spent 2 years bitching about how we couldn't do anything because those two free agents sucked here.
Yep.
Like, and by the way, Pete Alonso in and of himself does not fix this lineup.
Nope.
By the way, huge help. If Pete Alonso's Pete Alonso next year, Hosey's better, and if Kwan's still here, Kwan's better. Fair. The problem is you still have two or three more spots. You have too many holes in the lineup, even with Pete Alonso.
And you know what could help that? Patience. And I know that's the last thing that fans want to hear, but you need to see if Manzardo can develop into that 30 home run hitter that you're looking for consistently. You need to see what you can get out of your young guys that you finally, it took a minute, right? But you need to see what George Valera is going to give you. You need to see what Chase DeLauder is going to give you. We haven't even mentioned Travis Bazzana. We haven't even mentioned Ralphie Velasquez, who had a great year in Double A Akron by all accord. Like, I know it's the last thing that fans want to hear because you've been waiting since 1948. And there's a lot of people like my dad who are getting tired of waiting because
the way,
they just want to see one.
By the way, a fair amount of us have not been. I've been waiting since 1985. All right. Like this, my grandma, my great-grandma, Blanche, who started listening to Guardians games on radio back when they were the Indians and would keep score, but like a fireside chat while FDR spoke, right? She waited from 1948 till she passed away in the 2000s. My grandma Barb, who was 9 years old when the Indians last won a championship, right, and passed away in 2018. She waited since 1948. I've waited about 40 years. So this, for the people throwing themselves on the cross, can we also be very genuine about that? You can be upset. I'm upset my grandma Blanche never saw another title. Same thing with your grandma. Two of the biggest baseball fans I've ever met in my life. And with the greatest women ever, would have loved to see a championship. I can't mourn for their 450 years of lost baseball, okay? It's a little disingenuous, guys.
People do it, though.
Do you hold a vigil for Grampy? Grandpa would have really loved Pete Alonso this year. If only we had signed Pete Alonso, Grampy could have rested contently, but now he's in the seventh circle of hell roasting. just mad as hell.
Watching these Gabriel Arias strikeouts every night.
I mean, if Grampy were here right now, he'd have takes about the shift and the new ball. The new ball. That was not great. The new pitch clock. He has some takes politically as well that might not have aged well. Grampy would have some takes right now. I think, like, here's the thing that yesterday reminded me of. Everybody who the only conversation, again, have one of the conversations is the Dolans. There's no doubt about it. But you got to be willing to have both sides of that conversation, what they do well and what they don't do well, and that's something that people don't want to do. You either want to praise them and say they're the best ownership in Cleveland because they don't fire anybody, or you want to knock them for not spending. Both things are true. But specific to this thing, like, I realized for that segment, I don't know if it's 5%, 10%, 15%, 20%, but of the people who the only conversation they can have about the Dolans, winning a World Series won't be enough. It just won't.
Because, yeah, that's crazy.
Because if you had won a World Series last year, or if you had won a World Series in 2022, the narrative would be you got lucky.
Yeah, that's crazy.
The moving goalpost. No, because they're having success. They're having as much success as you can have. What, do they got the fourth most wins in baseball since 2015, 2016? Like, this is, whether people want to grasp this or not, this is one of the true great baseball markets in all of baseball for baseball guys. This is a haven for dudes who just get to do their job and don't have to deal with impetuous owners. And the reality is, that will never be enough. Winning a World Series will not be enough for the people who just want to see the Dolans gone. It's just not. You'll find a way to cheapen that championship the same way that the people who hated LeBron, but then were kind of grimacing it and putting up with it for 4 years because you were conveniently in the finals for 4 years, who now, it's the same people who moved the goalpost and said he won one championship. It's like, Jack, you had been waiting since 1964 for that championship, I thought, despite being born in 1991. That's not you, by the way. It was another guy. 216-474-0092. Will the Dolans complaint stop if the Guardians actually won a World Series next year? I'm going to say no. I'm going to say pretty confidently no. Dustin in D.C., what's up, buddy?
Big Nick, Little Nick, gentlemen.
He did it again. He did it again.
In fairness, I think it's worse to be you than it is to me.
Probably,
Who knows? You know what? That's fair, I guess. I mean, it's just kind of the story of life. Here's the deal. I don't agree with you, Mr. Wilson, and here's why. Because nobody's complaining about Dan Gilbert. That's a whole separate entity. That's LeBron. So, like, even when he left, nobody was, like, barking that the Cavs suck. They're not trying to win. They're not doing this.
They just stopped talking about the Cavs until they got good 4 years later.
Nick, it's fine. Look, the Gardos, here's the deal with those. Like, it's not, I don't think it's something that people are suggesting, like, hey, just go blow a bunch of money. They've actually kind of found out a formula, like, hey, we're just going to keep opening up little windows. We're not going to jump through the window. We're just going to keep opening them up, and that'll keep things going. All right, fantastic. I'd rather be, as a fan, personally, as a Cleveland fan, number one, but if I was going to be a fan of a baseball team, give me the Texas Rangers right now. I'll do what they did 2 years ago, and I'll suffer through whatever the heck it is. Go give me a Corey Seager. Go push through. Get it done. I'd rather have that, Nick, than 13 years of whatever it is, just little small opportunities.
They were in the ALCS last year. They were in the World Series a decade ago. They've been to the ALCS multiple times in the last decade.
Nick, they've been to one World Series in 28 years.
That's one more than a fair amount of teams in baseball have been. Like, I understand what you're saying, and that the goal is... What was that, bud?
It's not the Texas Rangers who spend.
The Texas Rangers don't spend. The Texas Rangers are cutting payroll this offseason because of the same reason the Guardians did last year. And there's talking about, hey, can we unload Semien or Seager's contract? Because they're cutting payroll while trying to be good. So, by the way,
The World Series MVP.
Would you take being the Tampa Bay Rays? Would you take being the Tampa Bay Rays?
No.
All right, what about Milwaukee?
Okay, fine.
What about Milwaukee?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
This year? Sure.
Well, but okay, but they're all,
this year, but
Dustin, this is the thing, real quick.
Real quick,
I'll give you. I'm going to give you a chance to answer. The Rangers are a top 10 market. Dallas is a huge town. There is a lot of money in Dallas, and they're finally coming down off of payroll. And and by the way, it's, they've done this multiple times where they've spent and normally haven't won. Think of A-Rod, think of Kevin Brown, think of Juan Gon, although those are like three generations of a team. But my point is, like, Cleveland, Tampa, and Milwaukee, if you are a small market fan in baseball, is as good as it gets. Go spend a decade as a Royals fan, and they've won a World Series in the last 13 years, and it still sucks to be them outside of the last that one time they won in 2013.
Nick, that's a fair point, and I understand what you're saying, but at the end of the day, there's no salary cap in baseball, so you spend to win. That's how it goes. The Cavaliers won a championship. Dan Gilbert spends. But it's a touchy topic. I understand, but
Dustin,
no.
If
you
want to
win,
okay?
go spend.
So, but it's not that simple. Like, Pittsburgh doesn't spend, and they don't win. Cincinnati kind of spends, kind of doesn't spend. Don't win. Like, Cleveland doesn't spend, and all they do is win. All they do, everyone counts them out. Everybody thinks they're not going to win, and all they do is win to a point. But I think this idea that, like, all of a sudden one title is going to change how you feel about the Dolans, no. One title and a $200 million payroll is the only way that we'll ever, and even then, they better win with that $200 million payroll. You're going to bitch about that one, too. 216-474-0092. Will the Dolans complain, stop, if the Guardians won the World Series next year? And rapping Andy Baskin. Run, tell that in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. I do want to get into to rapping Baskin in a moment, but I will tell you, don't know if you are engaged to a Swiftie. Don't know the familial situation. I will tell you, this morning, the new Taylor Swift album dropped. And I already have been waterboarded with it. There was a moment where Vanessa realized it. So I hear Taylor Swift blaring from her office. And if I make even so much as a peep, I get in trouble. I'm just saying, but blaring from her office. And then Isabella, one of my twins, was sitting on the couch farthest from me, and she figured out that it was out. And then all of a sudden there's a second song, a little bit louder, but closer to me, very loud. And that led Sophia to realizing the new Taylor Swift was out, which meant she, at the same level her sister was listening to it, listened to yet a third song. So at one point, while How I Met Your Mother was on TV, because that's a universally accepted show for all of us to watch together, there were three different Taylor Swift songs playing at various incredibly loud volumes. And by the time we were getting ready to leave for the day, I was ready to crash out because I could not handle any more noise.
Yeah, I got to be real. That's a non-starter for me. I can't do, like, even when Cam's watching TikTok on her phone and she's, like, too close to me and it's really loud, it's like, hey, turn that down. Like, you need people in the next zip code to be able to hear that? Like, why is it playing so loud?
See, that's the nice way things go when you're young and you're not married yet and you don't have kids. It's now just I reach over, because, you know, Vanessa always falls asleep on her phone watching something. Her YouTubers, Netflix, something. And I have stopped asking. When I can tell she's, I just reach over and I just turn it off. And every night it's, well, you turn that off. I'm just resting my eyes. I'm like, we call that sleeping. That's what you were doing was sleeping.
Yeah.
And I can't sleep because your phone is in my left ear at full blast. I I hope you have a beautiful life with your beautiful fiance. And I hope I'm there. I hope I'm there when about 10 years into the whole thing, 15 years into the whole marriage thing, I can just pop up and be like, how are those mornings treating you? How are things going? It's not just you. I got a round to make with Peter Lynn as well, because he's like, well, we just have different houses. And I'm like, we'll see. The house full of women and you're outnumbered. We'll see. So we'll see.
Yeah, because that is, it just drives me nuts. Like when it's too loud.
It doesn't get better.
And like with
this is as good as it's going to get. I'm going to tell you right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
With love.
Yeah. With love, I guess. But man, it is aggravating. And then like you mentioned the morning. So she wakes up before I do, like considerably. Like I don't have to be at the office till like 9-ish. You know, sometimes it's 9:30. Sometimes it's 10.
Sometimes it's 10:30.
She gets to work at like 7. So the alarm going off like 5 or 6 times in the morning, that's real fun too.
And ladies, just so we're clear, I have never lived with a woman, been with a woman who's quiet in the morning. And every man that I know that I've talked with about this, and every woman that I know that's also talking, oh, we're so quiet in the morning. It's a herd of elephants.
Dude.
It is, I mean, I live in the Serengeti at 7 o'clock in the damn morning. I'm actually glad now that I have to wake up an hour and a half before Vanessa does, so that I don't get so mad like I used to when it came to, hey, oh, did I wake you up? Oh, I thought I was being quiet. We have different degrees of quiet. Now, while we are on this topic about music, life, and whatnot, I didn't think it was going to be Andy Baskin today dropping this beat.
Boom. Yeah. London, fish and chips, Big Ben, Parliament. Look, kids, Parliament. Yep, that's where the Browns are. I didn't. Do you like that little riff?
Was it bad?
I don't know. Did he say little kids in there?
I thought he did, but he said look, kids.
Oh,
what made him do this?
All right.
Whole time I thought he did say little kids, but he said look, kids.
Then I don't have any worry about a name being on a list that may or may not exist, might not happen or not. Because that, when I heard little kids, I was like, oh, why are you going to London, sir? All right, beyond that, now that we have that answered, you're young, you like youthful music. How you feeling about rapping Baskin?
It was at least kind of on beat. He didn't really put any lyrics down. Like
That's rap now.
He was more so just, he was stating things about London softly while a rap beat played underneath it.
I will tell you, as somebody who does not like contemporary rap music, it sounds like Randy Newman with a rap beat behind him. Like, he sounds like going to the club. Going in my car, driving home, I'm like, are we just narrating our day here? Because I got a 15-year-old that does that every damn day as well.
What's funny is, like, I'm still kind of a little bit new here, right? Like, I've never worked with Baskin. I don't really know Baskin all that well. Like, when I come in here to fill in with you, he gives me a have a good show. That's really it. So today, when that happened, I said, well, I heard you laid down a couple bars on the show, and we're going to react to it today. And he described it as old man rap. And it's a pretty good description of what that was.
I'm going to tell you right now. I've made a baby or two in my life. I know baby making music when I hear it. This sounds like, we're going to play it again. This sounds like a man that has sired multiple children in Andy Baskin. Wait, real quick. Pause that. If you're driving around and there's any risk of getting pregnant, just turn it down. Don't listen to it. Because that's how viral, that's the word I was looking for, not viral. That's how viral this sound is.
Boom. Yeah. London. Fish and chips. Big Ben. Parliament. Look, kids. Parliament.
Yep, that's where the Browns are.
I don't think he should have doubled back to Parliament. I don't think he should have gone back to Parliament a second time.
I kind of liked it.
I think you could have gone Guinness there. You could have gone, would you call Big Ben earlier a pile of bricks?
Yeah.
You could have gone Downton Abbey. You could have gone any of the abbeys, where there's a lot of abbeys there. You could have gone a lot of places. I think going back to Parliament, I think, is where maybe he really took the thing off the rails.
Yeah, I don't know that any of the rap magazines are going to be knocking down the door here to get an interview with Baskin.
I think fair's fair. You don't know Andy very well yet, but I'm going to have Jax play the bed that our buddy Andy Baskin rapped to, and I want you to give us a London rap on the way out.
I don't know about that.
Jax, have you been able to find the bed? He's been working meticulously.
I have not.
You've been working. Do you have anything that sounds like rap? All right.
Let's
give it to me.
No, this is
drop
like
a beat.
Generic YouTube royalty-free.
That's what we got.
Yeah, that's what we're allowed to play.
No,
yeah.
This is the exact
this
one.
This is the exact bed.
All right, we'll work
on it. Wait, no, let's run it back. We're going to drop a beat here. Ready? We're going to give you a countdown. I'm going to give you 3, 2, 1, and then you don't have to jump right in, but just when you feel it, when you feel the power of music upon you, you just hit it, okay?
I don't know that I have this in me, guys.
No. Listen, that's humility.
You got it, Nick.
You
ready?
Got this.
You ready?
All right, we believe in you. Ready? We're going to go 3, 2, 1.
See, he did like a little ad lib at the start. I don't think I'm going to do that.
I think you're doing it now.
Oh, that was it? Oh, there we go.
Now
the
words.
Browns are in London, where hopefully Myles Garrett will be bumping into Carson Wentz, who's probably better than Dylan Gabriel, but it's Gabriel's first start. His parents won't be there, so his heart might be a little heavy. Hopefully, he leaves in a Chevy. Doesn't he have... No, that's a Chrysler minivan. Darn it. That he does the commercials for. Oh, I ruined it.
What is it like to get dusted in a wrap-off by Andy Baskin?
I tried to... I felt like he didn't use enough lyrics, so I tried to put more lyrics into mine.
Just put all the lyrics? You went full Randy Newman? You don't get that, but you'll get it one day. 216-474-0092. Who won the rap battle? And if you'd like to rap about London, we're coming back in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.